world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm full of it this morning, I gotta tell you. I'm full of it this morning. I don't know why, December the 4th, here it is. I was just explaining to the people in the pre-show that, man, I've been confused. It's Thursday. I'm thinking it's Wednesday. My wife just said it's Thursday, and we had an argument. I said, it's Thursday. Wow. I guess it's happened to me because maybe some of you guys can relate to this. My whole life, I was operated by a schedule. I'd get up in the morning, look at the schedule, had to do this at 1 o'clock, had to do this at 2 o'clock, had to do this at 4 o'clock. And I knew that. I knew that. Now, I don't really have a schedule. I do the show in the morning, but other than that, there's no continuity to my day. And so it's easy for all the days to roll together. And my sweet wife, she's worried that I'm getting Alzheimer's, which I'm not. I said, listen, I just got brain overload, sweetie. I just ain't got any room for some of that stuff. Like, where the kids have to be, where do the grandkids have to be at 7 o'clock tonight? She'll tell me, and I don't file it because I don't worry about it. She'll get me there. Is anybody else feeling like that out there other than just me? Because I think I'm smarter than I've ever been, yet some of the most obvious things around me, I forget. And I'm telling you, my mind is so sharp, but sometimes I don't even know what freaking day it is. What do you think, Mel? You agree with me?
I know that happens to me, so I don't know if that makes me senile and old or not, but I think it happens to everybody. But I wanted to mention something this morning before the show gets started. Spencer, if you could go to the Liberty Action Network website. This is something that I haven't really promoted much to date, but I was thinking this morning that it might be a good time to do it with, you know, people buying gifts at this time of the year. Danica and I created a marketplace on the Liberty Action Network. And Spencer, if you could go to that tab at the top. You know, the network kind of supports people in ministry. Marketplace, we created that to support, you know, each other in business. And, you know, different people have different things that they if you could go over to the next one, Spencer, Marketplace. So we started to create this page where we could actually, you know, support each other in business. You know, we have a couple of authors in our network, you know, John Brookoff and Donald Davidson, and, you know, Coach Dave, you know, he has merchandise that he sells. Danica, I don't know if I say her name right, sorry, Donica, I think. You know, so, but anyway, this time of the year, you know, we may want to just, you know, support our brothers and sisters, you know, in the queue and in the network. And then also I wanted to mention that if you have a business, on the left-hand side, there's a place for you to, you know, kind of submit your business to be considered for this page. I don't want to say that we're approving everyone. I mean, if you're somebody that I don't know and, you know, selling something, you know what I mean? But this is really for us to support each other. So, you know, why don't you, you know, if you're looking for gifts this year, you know, click on Coach Dave. He's got some amazing merchandise.
Buy a hat. Buy a hat.
Yeah, for sure.
Come on, man. Enough for you. Give somebody in your family a hat. Support.
That's right.
Mom.
So I just want to let you know that it's here. You know, we created this a few months ago, but I really haven't promoted it yet. So we're looking to grow it. But anyway, it's here, and let's help each other in business. Thanks.
Amen. Mel, thanks. That's really, I don't maybe cover that stuff enough. Folks, listen, I want you to know this. There ain't no big donors here. I mean, they're consistent people giving 50, 100 bucks a month here. That's here. But we ain't in nobody's pocket. Nobody owns us. Nobody, no big donor can tell us what we can and can't say. No. I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. So rather than going to Walmart and buying a T-shirt at Walmart, buy a Coach Dave Live T-shirt. People will like the gift no matter what. Buy a merchant. Buy John Brockoff's book. Do my great-grandchild, Don Davidson's Pursuit of Happiness. What's really going on in the tax system and how we do it. So thank you, Mel, for bringing that up. Thank you for bringing that up. Okay, so I'm gonna jump in here, and this ain't gonna be tickle your ears good stuff today. Okay, there's a real fight going on, folks. Real fight, and the real fight. Maybe I said some of this in the pre-show. Maybe it was in the, when we got rolling here. Is we're gonna have to deal with some of these great issues. Number one, the greatest division going on in American Christianity right now is Israel. And there's nothing that's going to cause a greater fight amongst Christians than Israel. Would you all agree with that? Would you all agree with it? And we don't even agree. We don't even agree. But Spencer, go to Wikipedia real quick and pull up religion. World religion. Denominations, Christian denominations. I tell people this all the time, and they don't believe it. Christian denominations. And there's, as you'll see, scrolling down there, you'll see there's 42,000 different Christian denominations. Just stop right there. 42,000. Can I say this? Versions of Christianity. 42,000 of them. And do they all agree on the same thing? Because I run into people who say, well, the Bible says that I believe it and that settles it. Well, evidently not everybody else does. There's 42 different. You know, churches divide over whether you submerge or sprinkle. You know they fight over that. You know, churches divide over what day you go to church. You know, churches build entire denominations on whether you talk in tongues or don't talk in tongues. You know this, right? 42,000 denominations. And they lie to us, Paul. Funny you would say that, Paul. They tell us that diversity is our greatest strength. And anybody that's coached a football team knows that ain't true. That ain't true. If you get in a huddle and one guy wants to run off tackle and another guy wants to run a sweep and another guy wants to throw a pass, you're going to find out that diversity is not our greatest strength. No, 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 no. It is not. That is a lie. It's a lie. There it is. There are over 45,000 Christian, hey, folks, not churches, denominations of churches, which estimates varying by source and counting method. Look at this. Major divisions. Go down there. I'm going someplace. Stay with me today. Wonder why we're not advancing the kingdom. Catholicism, Protestantism, Eastern Orthodox, Oriental Orthodox, Church of the East, Restoration, Pentecostal, Charismatic. Right? Somebody give me a thumbs up so you know what I'm talking about here. Because here's what happens when I come here to Coach Dave Live. I'm trying to talk to all those people, and we don't even agree. Right? Their denomination is right. I've had people who don't watch it anymore because I'm not a full-throated Israel guy. They quit watching. They don't come in here anymore. They won't get in our huddle. Look, I'm not whining. I'm going to show you something here today. I'm going to try to help us all out today. I'll let Martin in real quickly. Go ahead, Martin.
Thanks, Coach. Wonderful topic. I appreciate you, sir, bringing it up because you are right. It is splitting Christianity, the idea and the topic of Israel. I just want to point everybody back here on Coach Dave Live to a very wonderful passage. Forgive me for not having the address. I'm driving to work. But it says this, Coach. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Amen.
And that's what we need to focus on, brother, as we go through these perilous times and these different controversies that come into our world. One faith, one Lord, one baptism.
One baptism. Huh? We're all one people, right? Hey, folks, there ain't no such thing as a Lutheran Christian. There ain't no such thing as a Baptist Christian. There ain't no such thing as a hyphenated Christian. I'm just sorry. Okay, Spence, this is hot off the press. This is my commentary for this week. Is religion destroying Christianity? I hope you all stay with me till the end. According to my research on the internet, there are currently 45,000 denominations of Christianity in the world. Yes, you read that right. Not 45,000 churches, but different flavors. Look, denomination is a math term. Go with me, if you will, back to the first and second grade where we first learned how to do math. They start with the basics of counting, adding, subtracting. When we mastered those basics, usually by the end of the second grade, we were ready to move on to the third grade where we were schooled on multiplication and division. Anybody remember learning the times table out there? You still remember when you learned the times table? And your teacher made you repeat it, right? Because you got those basic math facts down. So you see, division was a bit more complicated than math because it required a mastery of adding and subtracting together in the same math problem. To make it simple, my third grade teacher, Mrs. Oldham, that was actually her name, was tasked with the job of teaching long division. That required the introduction of two new creatures, numerators and denominators. Anybody tracking with me here? You going back to the second grade, third grade? Remember when they taught how to do that? Well, help me here. It's been 65 years since I was in the third grade. The numerator, according to Mrs. Oldham, was the whole or total number. And the denominator was the number by which the whole number was going to be divided. Hence, 30, the numerator, 10, the denominator, gives us 3, the number of groups we would have after the whole class 30 was divided by 10, which gave us the number of groups 3. You with me? Pretty basic stuff. But since I've lived 73 years now and take my Christianity seriously, I've come to realize that math does not lie. Although liars can make math lie. In today's modern anti-Christian world, they fed us the pablum that diversity is our greatest strength. That has to be one of the greatest whoppers that the world has ever told. In the book of Amos, the Bible asks a very simple question. Hey, Paul. Can two walk together except they agree? That explains exactly why the body of Christ is so ineffective in expanding the kingdom here on earth. Our churches are a house divided. Somebody say boom or thumbs up. Just encourage me that you're following along with it here. I often hear the lament of Christians when they're having a discussion about Christianity. They said, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. But that's a crock. We have different denominations because we can't agree on what the Bible says. Hence, denominations. Remember, math term. The correct response to the previous question should be, our denomination teaches it, our pastor is ordained by our denomination, and that settles it. Let me help you prove a point. If you have the courage, begin asking some of your Christian friends what religion they are. And they will answer, a Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, Catholic, Pentecostal, or my favorite, non-denominational. You get it? They respond with their version of Christianity. Aren't all of them Christians? Why do they identify their denomination as their religion? Oh, man. Aren't all denominations simply subgroups, versions of different versions of what the Bible says? Come on now, folks. The Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. Yeah, right. Want to start a fight, huh? Start talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit in a Baptist church. Good luck on that one. Divide and conquer is the oldest trick in the book. Webster defines religion as an organized system of religious attitudes, beliefs, and practices. Let me say that again. Religion is an organized system of religious attitudes, beliefs, and practices. In other words, religion is how you live out your Christianity, your religion. Folks, it ain't a religion. Christianity is the religion. See, religion is rule following. Christianity is heart-changing lifestyle. That'd be a boom, Vinny, if you're listening. Sadly, most Christians follow their version of the rules, hence denominationalism. Let me ask you again. Hey, Betty, what religion are you?
Christianity. Betty, you? I used to be Lutheran, but now I'm Christian. Christianity.
You're a Christian. You're not Lutheran, right? Huh? Gene, what religion are you, Gene?
I agree with Betty. I'm a Christian.
You're a Christian.
I was raised the Mennonite Brethren, but I believe Christianity.
All right, cool. Together. See, all of us, no matter what version of it, we're all Christians. Our religion is Christianity. Our denomination is Church of God. Come on now. Come on. Stay with me. Oh, my goodness. As many of you know, I spent my previous life before salvation as a high school football coach. Hence, Coach Dave is real. I really am a coach. Okay, so let me double back here and lean on my coaching experience. For those of you who enjoy football, there's nothing like the atmosphere at a big-time college football game like OSU Michigan. The most important moment of the game is the least understood. It's the huddle. Huh? The most important moment in the game is the huddle. The huddle is the moment when all 11 players come together in unity and run the same play that was called in the huddle. Each player has an assignment he must carry out, that assignment in order for the play to be successful. Coaches, pastors, are no good to the team if the players don't know and execute their individual assignments. That'd be another boom, Randy. Somebody out there, that'd be another boom.
Boom.
You got a bunch of guys playing the game. They don't even know what the hell they're supposed to do. They don't even know what their assignment is. Their assignment is to come to sit in church and listen to that guy tell me about Christianity. Right? Come on. I love pastors. It's a system. We're trapped in a system. Look around you. Look around any town in America, and you'll see multiple churches, each running their own individual play. Go to any downtown, look at all the churches on the corner. In fact, the players won't leave their team denomination and go huddle with another team denomination down the street because they don't agree with the other team's coach and how he thinks the game should be played. This is so good. This is so good. Oh, check out this article. It doesn't matter. It explains the reasons that the denominators are divided. Ready? You ready? Gay marriage, moral issues, women in leadership, worship music, spiritual gifts, baptism, politics in the pulpit, alcohol, blah, 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 blah. Rules, 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 rules. I get it. The Bible says it. I believe it. And that settles it. Yeah, right. You believe your denominational interpretation of the truth. How do we ever expect to defeat the enemy when our team can't even agree on what is right and what is wrong? Why? Final thought. People don't go to a football game to watch a huddle. They go to see what difference the huddle makes.
Wow. Huddle up,
daggone it. Stop serving your denomination. That's it, isn't it, folks? Religion is destroying Christianity. You know what I love best about Coach? There's a lot of things I love about Coach Dave Live. Randy Lunsford don't need some pastor dragging him around telling him what to do. Craig Mickle doesn't need some pastor dragging him around telling him what to do. They act like if you go to, look, I'm not against churches. I'm not against pastors. If you have to go to church to get marching orders, let me ask you a question. Oh, my goodness. If you were good, I've never been to one, but some of you out there have. You ever go to a pastor's meeting? In other words, what would they call that? When they get all the pastors come together for a
pastor's conference.
But yeah, whatever. A breakfast, we all get together. Do you think they really get together to try to come up with an organized plan on how to reclaim their schools? Do you think the pastors ever get in a huddle and call a play and leave a huddle and everybody goes back to their church and tells their church, hey, here's what we're going to do. We are all going to go stake our communities. Every person in every church in our community, we are going to run an organized play of staking and we're going to reclaim this cause Christ. Betty, you can't even get your pastor to do it, can you? He don't even want to do it, right? He wants to run his own play. He wants to run his own play. And by the way, he probably won't go with the guy down the street because that other guy believes in speaking in tongues. Oh, we can't have anything to do with it. Anybody with me out here? That's why we're in the mess that we're in. We in Christianity, we can't even agree whether or not it's okay to kill a baby. We can't even agree on that. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to throw this into you real quick. Then I'm going to open it up. Neil, probably, hang on there. We'll get you in here. Anybody know what the kingdom of God is? Let me throw this out. I'm mixing some metaphors here today. Hey, friends. You know the Lord's Prayer? Anybody come in? Can somebody come in there right now and recite the Lord's Prayer for me? Anybody? Somebody do it. Just do it. Come on in. Betty, you're right there. Go ahead. I see your face, Betty. Go ahead.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Stop. Do it again, Betty.
Boom, Betty.
Do it again, Betty.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where?
On earth as it is.
We all pray that, right? And nobody
Boom.
Tries to expand the kingdom of God. We try to expand our denomination. Oh, my goodness. Now, look, I'm not trying to be critical of individual pastors because they've been brought up in the system. We've all been brought up in the system. That you have the experts, the pastor, and then just the rest of us fools who sit here. That's not, folks, that's not the way it's supposed to work. And we're seeing what encourages me. You folks begin to step out and say, if he ain't going to do it, I'm going to. Ain't about time somebody done something? And rather than us getting together and working on it, folks, can you tell me, how can abortion possibly still be legal?
Boom.
How can homosexuality possibly be taught in our schools? I'll tell you why. Because it's a family feud. Churches are arguing with each other on doctrine. Huh? Met the enemy. It's us. We have a common opponent. It's Lucifer and his minions of fallen angels. And we spend all of our time fighting amongst each other. Somebody say boom. Somebody say boom.
Boom. Double boom, coach. Oh.
What's that?
Double boom, sir.
Yeah. We can't end abortion. Good Lord help us. Neil, come on in.
I can't use the word Christianity anymore. If someone asks me what I am, I tell them I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Yesterday, I saw a headline that some Methodist Christian pastor came out to his congregation that he's a transgender and he'll now
be addressing.
Yeah. So I have to tell people I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and that's it. You can do what you want with that.
So the Methodists are apostate, but they ain't the only one, boys and girls. They ain't the only one. Adam, come on in. Proverbs 18:13. Come on in, Adam.
Hey, Coach. I remember a few years ago, I tried to get a bunch of churches together to join hands together and just march our community and pray over our community. And none of them would do it. You know why? Because these pastors all said the same thing. Well, we don't want people stealing our sheep. And that's part of the problem. They think that they own the sheep. When we are God's people, not the pastor's people.
And we're supposed to be expanding a kingdom, aren't we? Huh? Aren't we supposed to be expanding a kingdom? Huh? And so they won't come together because they don't agree on doctrinal issues. Do you understand, folks? Religion. Religion is destroying Christianity. They got their rules and their regulations and their Bible beliefs. And, So look, again, hang on. Get right with you, Johnny. Is there anything dividing the body of Christ more than Israel? Don't you think we ought to all agree on that? The church isn't going to agree on Israel. Hell, they don't agree on abortion. They're worried about speaking in tongues. It's unbelievable. We're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. I'm telling you the truth. I'd rather be beaten with a rope than walk into a Lutheran church or a Presbyterian church or name your flavor, because they're all about their doctrine. And we know this, doctrine divides. The Bible says have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Wow. Johnny.
Good morning.
It's pretty good, isn't it, Johnny? It's pretty good.
This is so awesome. I'm just thinking about isn't one of God's commands, thou shall have no other gods but me. Okay. Yep. Then I start thinking about arms and legs. Like an arm represents being a Mormon. And a leg represents being a Catholic, and a finger represents being a Methodist. You know, we're to be in the body of Christ. God said, I am. He didn't say, I am a Methodist. I am a Christian. I am a whatever.
Yep. That's right.
So why? It's just like the Trinity. I've had conversations with people about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. And they're like, no, it's not. I'm like, why can't you just be practical? Why can't you God made it simple for us to understand.
Johnny, does it matter
when I say that?
Well, here's the question I ask. Do you have to all agree on all the scripture in order to end baby murder? You have to agree with every doctrine before we'll go in baby murder together? Are you kidding me? What's wrong with us? If you're walking down the street and somebody's had a car wreck and the car's on fire, are you going to ask them what denomination they are before you try to get them out? Randy.
Yeah, I think Johnny's conclusion, Coach, was that if you elevate doctrine above Christ, you've got another God. You've got another God. So, Coach, what my point is this. If the kingdom of God is one, and we know it is, it's one. It's a wall all the way around, one circle or one whatever, square. Okay, but it has 12 gates, Coach.
Yeah.
12 gates. I'm not saying there's 12 different denominations. I'm saying there's 12 gates into the kingdom. But look, Coach, the 12 represents government, okay? So in other words, it isn't the literal gate. It's the spiritual picture of Christ, the king, his government, okay? And when you see that 12 represents government, Coach, and the government is on his shoulder, and when you understand that he's the king, everything else falls into that. If you're outside of that, you're not going to be you're not going to be in on it. You're going to have a denomination because you don't understand the government of Christ.
Randy, so what's the denomination? What does it mean to denominate again? Somebody help me out. What does it mean to denominate? to divide. And Jesus said, a house divided.
Right.
Go ahead, Randy. I'll cut you off.
No, that's a good point. So, but, Coach, my last point is, if Jesus is the king and he's decreed that life is precious, when you say, and then you say abortion's okay, I think you're outside the kingdom. You're not in. You're not. Yeah. You didn't go through the government. You didn't come into the gate. You didn't come into his kingdom. You don't. You are outside on this one. And you know what it says? The whoremongers, the unbelievers, and all these wicked people, they're outside the gate. They're outside the kingdom. That's
kingdom
why
has not come within them. Kingdom within them. It hasn't
Amen,
come.
Amen, Coach. That's why Paul says, he says, if you do these things, you can't inherit the kingdom of God. That's, it's not talking about you can't be born spiritual again and brother. Saved. It means you're not going to come into God's government, yeah. His kingdom.
It's here. Thy kingdom come. It's come. His kingdom has come. It's within. It's within. Oh, I got some more, so much to say. Martin, come on in, then Jeff. And then hang on after Jeff, because I want to show you something else. Go ahead, Marty. He could be at work. Maybe he's at work. Jeff, go
no,
ahead.
No, I got it. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, Coach. Randy, I thank you, sir. Thank you for your biblical fellowship. That's exactly correct. So many Christians today, I ask them at the lumberyard when they come in. They've got Jesus, those fishes, you know, not of this things that allude to them being Christian, sir.
Not of this world.
But when I get them on biblical knowledge, yeah, they've got all kinds of and stuff for Christianity. You got the stickers, your church show up. And what I found out, just delving in on knowledge a little bit, Coach, they have no clue what's in the Bible. They really don't know what's in the derivative book. And therefore, since they're biblically illiterate, they fall for every what seems to be sound doctrine that's thrown to them. If
it's not sound doctrine because they don't go outside. Martin, you're breaking up.
Correct.
We're getting about every third word from you, Marty. You're breaking up, man. I'm sorry.
I'm Jeff, in the shop.
Come on in, Jeff.
Hey, Coach. All of Christianity, which is relational submission and commitment, rests on the fact that you stand before the Lord and he asks, why shall I let you? And you'll say you did all these things. You tithed and you fed the poor and so on and so on.
You
and
kept
you
the
say,
Sabbath.
Yes, but you didn't
you
know
didn't
me.
Yep.
And I don't know you. Depart. All of it rests on that. It's relational. You know,
yes,
and Jesus basically told his Pharisees right to their face. He says, you guys love your religion more than you love God.
That's right. You make his commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God in effect. Follow this, follow that, do this, don't do that. Wipe here, don't wipe here. Eat this, don't eat that. What Christianity, religion is destroying Christianity. It's destroying it. Religion. What was religion? I said, done. Okay, so sit down a minute, because I'm gonna weave something in here that's important. Go, Spencer, pull up next to the last thing it says. The kingdom. Now, hey, folks, are you looking at me? The kingdom of God is within. The kingdom of God is within. Heaven is where God rules. They are not the same. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Oh, yeah, huh? The kingdom of God is within. It's not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Here's 30 verses about the kingdom of God within you. Hang on. Last I checked, I'm not dead yet. I think I'm still alive. But I'm connected to the kingdom. Right now, connected into the kingdom. What do you mean, Coach? You're connected into the kingdom. Because Christ rules and reigns in my life. The kingdom has come. It is within me. I receive Christ. He became my king. He became my Lord. He became who I served. He is the King of kings, and he already came, because it says that he who was with you shall be in you. Is anybody else out there other than me have the kingdom of God inside of them right now. I have it in me right now, right now. And what do? I follow the rules of that kingdom, not my denomination, not what that pastor standing in the pulpit says. I follow the rules of the kingdom. And the kingdom of God guides me into all truth. Because why? The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, lives in me. People say, well, are you a spirit-filled Christian? Let me ask you something. Is there some other kind? Is there some other kind of Christian? Can you be a Christian without being filled with the Spirit? Oh, you mean you speak in tongues. You're Spirit-filled. What's wrong with you? Does the Spirit of God rule and reign in your heart or not? If he doesn't, you ain't in, I'm sorry, you ain't in the kingdom of God. Right now, I'm in the kingdom of God. And I believe this, if I were to drop over dead on my way up the steps today, I'm going to be present with the Lord instantly. Why? He's already in me. He's a spirit. God's a spirit. He rules and reigns in me. Scroll down a bit on the screen here. Scroll down. Okay, here you are. Nor will they, these are how to, the kingdom, the call to embrace the kingdom within us. Folks, it ain't someplace you're going. It's something that came. Nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is where? In within you. Romans says that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I got that in me. Do you guys have that? I got that in me. It doesn't matter whether I eat meat on Friday, which is what they told me for how much of my life, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Folks, you ain't searching heaven. You're searching the lordship, the kingship of God in your life. Seek first his kingship. Keep going, Spencer. This is good stuff. I said, man, Coach, I ain't never heard nothing like this. I know. That's why there's 42,000 different denominations. Jesus replied, very, very, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Wow. For he has delivered us from the domain of darkness. Actually, the King James says, the kingdom of darkness. We were in a dark kingdom. Why? There was a dark kingdom within you. And you've been delivered from that dark kingdom and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved son. What? It came. His kingdom came. It's in us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Randy, did that happen to you? Huh? Did you get in Christ, become a brand new creature? I did. I don't know if anybody else did. I did. Huh? I received Christ. I became a brand new creature. The old passed away. Behold, the new has come. And my life has been transformed since the day I invited Christ in my life. I've never been the same. I jokingly say, did for me what a phone booth did for Clark Kent. Radically transformed me from the inside out. Matthew 12, scroll down, Spencer. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come. I thought we're going to heaven. No, the kingdom and heaven are not the same thing. The kingdom of heaven means the rule of heaven, the ruling of heaven. Oh, my goodness. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, tolerance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. See, that's what you get when you receive the Holy Spirit. Oh, your church is spirit-filled? Really? Really? Philippians, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly wait a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Dudes, he already came. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to them. Okay, I could go on. Put this in the chat. Go read it for yourself. You, look, you better get this. the kingdom of God. Christ died on the cross. He destroyed the kingdom of darkness in your life. And when you receive Christ, the kingdom has come. Meaning what? The rule and reign of Christ is now in your life. It's already come. The question is, are you going to obey him? Are you going to obey the king? Huh? How about this one? Go ye into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. Do we even obey that one? Or do churches say, come ye, when Christ said, go ye? Man, I don't know if you guys are receiving this. I'm getting goosebumps. Go ahead, Martin.
Coach Dave, you are biblically literate, sir. You just said earlier that some of you haven't taught, haven't ever learned this. That's unfortunately so true, Coach, because in Christianity, I used to be a paid minister. We are basically taught to teach one thing, which is whatever verse that jumps out at us sometime between Monday and Sunday, and we teach a whole hour worth of information based on usually just one, maybe two, Coach, maybe two verses, maybe even three if we're getting, you know, a little outside the regularity. But they do not teach the Bible, sir. What you just quoted was all biblical references. This is what's differentiating the modern Christian and biblical disciples. There is a big difference. Somebody in here earlier claimed, I don't like the word Christianity anymore. I 100% agree with that man, because that is so true. Christianity is now just a big paint mark over humanity that maybe just says Jesus once in a while, goes to church every other Sunday when they feel like it, and they get dubbed the same as I do, who studies to show myself approved. And for you, sir, that has got a program that actually, you know, you teach the Bible to a degree, it's not fair in a way to me, Coach. But
so, Martin, still, here's what I've got. I'm sitting yes, right sir. Here. I'm a coach, folks. I'm a coach. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I'm a coach. So if a guy came to me and said, hey, Coach Dave, I want to play linebacker next year. So you do? Yeah. Okay, well, listen, dude, here's the way it is. You're going to have to gain about 15 pounds, and you're going to have to get stronger. You're probably going to have to get faster. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a printout of a workout schedule that you're going to have to follow. You really want to play next year? Okay, here's what you're going to do. Show you what you got to do in a weight room. I'm going to show you what you're going to do with your diet. I'm going to show you what you have to do with your heart and lung exercise. Here it is. Here's the plan to be it. Okay? Do this. And then next season, when it comes time to look for linebackers, you'll be prepared to be that linebacker. Let me ask you this. When you go to your church, what's the workout routine your pastor gives you?
Boom.
Most of us, I'm not being critical, I'm just being honest. Most of us are stagnant in our spiritual growth. We're stagnant in it. And that's sad. What happens to you if you're in the NFL and you get stagnant in your play? You don't have a job anymore. In Christianity, hell, you don't even have to come to the game. You can sit home and watch it on TV, and you still get the rewards and the benefits of it. Because it's not by works, it's by faith. But you know what my wife said to me again yesterday? I'm trying to get ahead of the game here a little bit. I washed the dishes, Betty. And you know what she said? You know my love language. Huh? What was my love language? Serving her. Dudes, come on now. We're all friends here. When's the last time you did something bold for your love of your father? When's the last time you stood up in the midst of a crowd and defended your King of Kings? That's why we're in the mess we're in. Because our religion has taught us this. We're soon going to be out of here. When Jesus talked about, he's coming here. He's coming here. We got it exactly backwards, in my honest opinion. I don't care what you believe. Do something, man. Randy, come on in.
I want
to give the last 15 minutes to y'all. Come on in here and lay it on the table. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, I so appreciate a coach, a hearing the mentality of a coach, because this is how I see it, Coach. I see it through the lens as a coach, just like you do, a team thing. And Coach, here's the thing. If you want to go to the next level, just like that boy at one linebacker, if you want to go and be an All-American or All-State or whatever, you have to do something to get there. But you're on the team. Hey, I'm not going to discriminate. I'm going to say you're on the team and you've got a place. But if you want to go to the next level, you're going to have to do something. So, Coach, where is the place in our lives, in our Christianity, Martin, in our doctrines? If we want to go to the next level, we're going to have to challenge some things that aren't good, aren't right. Weaknesses. And Coach, I was taught my whole life that heaven's a destination. I believe in heaven, the third heaven. I believe it's a realm. I know it is. But Coach, you have to see that the kingdom of God's not a destination over there, up there. It's here. Or Paul could not say what he said. None of the apostles could write what they wrote. So Coach, you're making the point. Until you can come into this mentality of understanding that the kingdom of God is within you, you will never be that kingdom of God that Christ is teaching. You're waiting on it, and you don't have to, Coach. I'm sorry I get loud, y'all. I'm sorry I get loud, but I preach the gospel. I preach it to you. I preach it to everybody. So
you're not loud. I want every man out there and every woman out there to ask yourself this very, very question. How many of you are flattered when somebody you love comes and blesses you? Maybe they remember you on your birthday. Maybe they just come in and they run clear across the room. Grampy, it happens to me. Grampy, they come and they give me a big hug, an expression of love to me. I'm telling you, it does. It's wonderful, is it not? To do something for my wife and see my wife smile that she'd been honored. Oh, my goodness. Friends, let me ask you something. Are you putting that smile on the Lord's face? You tell him you love him. And you won't step outside the safety of your four walls of whatever. Lay it on the line. I remember this when I went through a situation with the school board, of course. And everybody's afraid to take a controversial position. And I'll never forget. Three people, I'm not going to name who they are, who stood up in front of that crowd and defended me. I'll never forget it. I tell them every time I see them. I didn't even really know them. But they stood up in the midst of that hell and they defended me. Do you stand up in the middle of hell and defend him? Or do you huddle and wait for the evacuation? Hey, this is so good. I'm maybe you don't like it, but this is so true. What did Michelle say? Washing the dishes, that's her love language. What's your love language for the Lord? Praying that he'll give you more money? Praying that he'll bless you more and more and more? Isn't that the love language he teaches in the church? Obey the Lord? Does it ever say, serve the Lord, bless the Lord, step out of your comfort zone, honor the Lord? Does it ever say that? No. Well, that might cost you something. And I'm about drained. Anybody come on in? Jeff.
Coach, you just said that reminded me of a situation. A kid named Justin, back years ago there, had that big conference over there in Columbus, 500 men at, I forget what it was. It was a big, big event. Took Justin and my nephew. Justin was a linebacker on our football team down there at East Knox, and he was on my baseball team, number one in rotation and pitching. And he accepted Jesus that weekend when he heard you, a football coach, because he was just about as rowdy as you. I mean, that boy
one time in the hallway, punched a kid right in front of the principal, knocked him out right there. He just hammered. You know, that's the way the boy was. And anytime there was a beer party for the weekend at East Knox School, they'd go ask Justin, hey, where's the party? And he'd know. So, you know, I got thinking about it, and that's when they wanted to fire me for taking them two boys to church that weekend. Took me in and confronted me and said, is it true that you spent the weekend in a hotel with Justin? I said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. That all started, you know what I mean? I said, them two boys had their own hotel room. They're 17 years old. We didn't stay in a room with them. And because he came back to school that weekend, going through the school screaming, I got Jesus in my heart. He was running through the hallways yelling Jesus' name. And they pulled him in to find out, what is wrong with you, Justin? What's happened to you?
Yeah, Presbyterians probably didn't like that, huh? Yeah. Lutheran
and the whole school board was Christian, they say, churchgoers. The principal was that turned the team over to me, the high school baseball team, on and on and on. Well, they had their board meeting. Out of five of them, four of them voted to get rid of me. One of them, old Bob Durbin, he was the detective here in Knox County. I still haven't met him to this day. And if I ever get to meet him, I'm going to thank him someday when I see him face to face. But he stood up, one out of five, and said, listen, we need to keep Coach Klein here in this school for the well-being of these kids. And he did. You know what I mean? I heard that through the grapevine afterwards, that he stood up and spoke, but they voted 4-1, get rid of him, send him out of here. I'll thank been you there, when I meet him.
Been there, done that. You know what? What's worse? How many silent Christians let it happen to you? That's even worse. Jack, come on in.
Yeah, you asked a question a little while ago about two different big issues, and about abortion and in Israel, and they're both, the answer is both. They both are the same. At least, I don't know what it was, 20, 25 years ago, I was at some, pro-life event, whatever, and I tried to say, listen, folks, this is not a law issue. It's a heart issue. Just suppose, hypothetically, those nine criminals on the Supreme Court decided to overturn Roe versus Wade. And you know what's going to happen on Monday morning? 4,000 women are going to demand abortions. It's not a law issue, and you don't get it until you fix that. And at least half of those 4,000 women are going to be Christian women. Come on, people, wake up. You can't. Amen. It's not a law issue. It's a heart issue.
Amen. So along that line, hang on. I'll get you in a second, Adam. Hang on. Pull up Tucker on abortion. Hey, friends, when's the last time you heard a sermon on abortion in your church? Do you think God's okay with abortion? Anybody think God's pro-choice? Pro-murder, think God is? Tucker, they hate Tucker, you know. They hate Tucker because why? He won't get it. He's asking the, why are we doing this in Israel when we won't take care of our own people? He's asking that question. And then I saw this one today. It's really short. The real reason they want abortion. Hey, friends. They want to make sure Christians don't reproduce. They don't care if Muslims do. They don't care if atheists do. They don't want any more of those American Christians. Their father, the devil. Go ahead, play it.
Oh, thanks, Church.
Hey, abortion is the way to stop people from reproducing.
Adam, start again. Go ahead.
Abortion is the way to stop people from reproducing. So is birth control, by the way. So is convincing people that their dumb job is more important than having kids. It's not. It never will be. It's only about stopping you from having more of you. And is there anything that's a clearer representation of how you feel about yourself than how you feel about having kids? So here in Great Britain, which has about a 40% abortion rate, 40% of all conceived children are killed. Who's doing that? It's not the immigrants, because they don't hate themselves. Abortion is the way.
Yeah. White fellow, we hate ourselves. We kill our babies. It's unbelievable. Come on in, Adam. I'm sorry. I got you confused there. Come on in.
That's all right, Coach. Sorry about that. I think you're spot on today with everything that you're saying, and so is everyone else, Coach. I think the number one issue for the church right now is idolatry. And so we're in idolatry to a Christ-rejecting, Christ-hating nation of Israel. And so how could we come into agreement on topics like abortion or anything else when we're worshiping a nation that hates our Lord?
Mm-hmm. So Adam, I asked somebody the question the other day. Friends, I'm sorry if this makes you if you criticize Israel, you're anti-Semitic. If they criticize America, are they anti-Christian?
Maybe they should be.
If anybody who criticizes America, are they anti-Christian? How come that only goes one way? Oh man, folks, we gotta wake up. Paul, come on in.
Yeah, it'd be great for you to have an interview with Tucker. I mean, it's worthwhile, man. I love this guy, and he's a
they hate him, man.
He just did another video. I just posted it. It's about Milo. He's a homosexual conservative. Just got up out there. I'd strongly recommend it for our resident transgender in here, if he can spot on. But you know what, Coach? I mean, I could reach out to him, see if he could interview you, because I think it's something to be said about the cowardice that exists in this world right now, because there is no virtue if there's no courage, Coach. I mean, it's empty virtue. It is empty. I mean, C.S. Lewis, if anybody wants to read a guy that delved deep from his atheist into where he was. And it was a time that was worse than today, Coach. This is pre-World War One. You know, in that horrible, horrible time. And we're so weak. We're so comfortable. It makes me sick. I want to go myself in the face and get shot again. Man, I'm just sorry, Coach.
Amen. Folks, there's very few churches in America that will let this message in. I'm telling you. Pastor Clint will. Pastor Tom will. Pastor Dale will. Church don't want to hear this message. Because you know why? Look, it's divisive, folks. It's divisive. The gospel, at the heart of the gospel, lies division. Can two walk together unless they agree? How the heck can you consider another Christian part of your team if they want to murder babies? Well, they'll just go start their own denomination and they'll bring in a good worship leader, and they'll bring in some smoke screens and a great big TV. Then everybody will be happy about going to church then. But they don't have any idea how to rightly divide the word. They don't understand that Christ laid down his life for us. And when we receive Christ, we lay down our life for him. I said, why is this so hard for us to understand? And I can't imagine anybody saying something bad about me in front of my wife. They have scratches all over their face. Why? She loves me. She loves me. You love the Lord, or does he just love you? See you tomorrow.